Hello, everybody. This is normally where you would hear a young Irish man, but you are hearing instead an old Midwesterner. It's your old friend, Dr. Keith Lipinski, and welcome to a very special edition of the artist formerly known as Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. Again, I am Dr. Keith, and I'm being joined this week for a special little preview show for a little iPay-per-view that's coming up this weekend. Of course, the iPay-per-view is Anniversario Never Surrender, which will be held, of course, this Sunday night from the beautiful Trocadero Theater in Philadelphia, PA. My guest at this time, he used to be a member of Chikara. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our show, our old friend, Mr. Mike Quackenbush. And Mike, a part of the reason I want to have you on is because I think it was, I forget who it was when they showed up on an American talk show. It was someone that was involved in a number of things. And I think, or maybe it was Pee Wee Herman when he showed up on the MTV Video Music Awards when he asked, have you heard any good rumors lately? And that's part of the reason I want to get you on, because there have been a lot of nasty rumors about you and also Chikara. And I thought this would be a good forum for you to speak about that.
Yes, I think you and I have heard the same rumors going around, whether it's about a nasty divorce or the future of Chikara. And these rumors, let me be 100% clear, Keith, are completely false. These are absolute fabrications. And I think this is being done for a number of reasons. One of them is, no doubt, and over the years, Keith, I have seen outrageous things written about me online. I'm sure you've seen crazy things written about you, and anyone in the public sphere has. I've seen utter lies. I've seen stories misattributed to me that belong to other people. I've seen truths twisted into something malicious, and this one takes the cake. So I wanted to be forthright and let people know that whatever that is going around out there, don't believe it for a second. There are people out there that want to derail going into this weekend, I think some enormous momentum that the guys over at Chikara have, and they're trying to steal some of their thunder with this nasty business, and we're not going to allow that to happen. To the people that perpetuate this sort of thing, I want to call, I can't think of the title of this, Keith, you might have to help me here. I recently listened to a podcast that was a roundtable discussion between Conan, Gabe Sapolsky, Court Bauer, and some other guy from MLW. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mr. St. Laurent, who was a former fan of the PPH, Jill Cho, he's the host.
Ah, yes. There was like a round table of these people, and I listened to it because I'm always fascinated by the things that Gabe Sapolsky has to say, and I wanted to listen to it. And in this, they revealed and had a laugh about the fact that during an alleged MLW war with Ring of Honor, which I can't even say I remember, the guys in charge, like Court Bauer, et cetera, had told their underlings to go online and make up anything they could to detract from Ring of Honor's momentum. And they had, like, a laugh about this. And I thought, like, is this really where we're still at? Like, these type of junior high antics. And I'm sure, you know, if you look at it from our perspective now in 2013, Ring of Honor, what they have done and what they continue to do will influence professional wrestling for years, if not decades to come. That is the lasting impact of Ring of Honor, and I think it's beyond refute. And the lasting impact and influence of MLW is like the significance of a mosquito farting into a cyclone, right? And it's for this reason. If you want to make yourself better, you're jealous of something someone else has, the popularity of Ring of Honor, or the critical acclaim that somebody else has that eludes you, the way to go out and do that is not to throw dirt or drum up sleaze about the other person. The way you get ahead, not just in wrestling, but in life, is by making yourself or the brand you represent better. That's how it's done. Junior high, backstage, juvenile political stuff like that is not the way to get ahead. You do it by making yourself better than everybody else out there. And I think, in a way, that speaks to some of the things over the years that Chikara has done, particularly as the Anniversario of Chikara, which just went by on May 25th, 11 complete years in the books, now a 12th year ready to begin, and this Sunday, June 2nd, live on iPay-per-view, even though it kills me not to be part of this event, a fantastic and I think really intriguing lineup top to bottom is taking place at the Trocadero.
It seems to me that Chicago, though, this year has been incredibly dark. I mean, I was recently at the huge Tag World Grand Prix, and to see Jigsaw and the Shard, the Pieces of Hate, I believe them called, winning that tournament over Young Bucks, a team that came in the tournament as, you know, a lot of people were not big fans of the Young Bucks and their air guitar antics. But by the end of the night, I mean, people were totally in love with the Young Bucks, and Jigsaw and the Shard seemed to derail them in winning that, and they will be facing, of course, 3.0 on this show. So I think if there's anything that talks about Chikara, at least this season, it's there's a certain darkness to it. That and the fact that you're no longer with the company, Mike. For those that don't necessarily follow Chikara as religiously as I do, what is your status currently with the company?
But unfortunately, for me anyway, the company that I helped found is now at arm's distance, and this is because of Director of Fun, Wink Vavasor. And I think, unfortunately for him, he's in for quite a surprise this weekend. And that's all the more I'd care to say about it because, as they say, certain people have eyes and ears everywhere. The match that you alluded to, the Pieces of Hate, which is my former partner, Jigsaw, and his new partner, The Shard, challenging for the Campeonatos de Parejas against 3.0, is maybe the match that I'm personally the most intrigued to watch. And it was a very surreal feeling for me, by the way, earlier this morning. I had to go on smvod.com and order the iPay-per-view, which is not typically how I experience Chikara iPay-per-views. But I would really hate to see those guys, given you know, what our personal trajectories have been, for them to overtake 3.0, who have really turned into fine champions. A little while ago, they had a very short championship run, and I don't think they really got to strut their stuff. They were plagued by injuries, and I'm really, really intrigued to watch this. And really, everything top to bottom, one of the most peculiar matches on the card, but one that I think is really, really intriguing to watch, is, again, the work of, I hate to say it, but the incompetent Director Wink. He's put our ring announcer, Gavin Loudspeaker, into a match against Tim Dunst, and both men's hair is on the line. And that just saying that is outrageous. Like, it's an unbelievable circumstance, but I think it's going to be one of the most intriguing moments of the entire card.
I mean, we've seen Gavin, or Loudon, or however you want to say it, we've seen him deliver blows, of course, to Don's handyman, Jakob Hallemeyer, in the past, but we have not seen him in a full-fledged match. I mean, can you imagine if you were sitting there, if you were a graduate out of the Wrestle Academy, and your first match is against a beast like that Tim Dunst? And more importantly, with the hair versus hair stipulation, I mean, Gavin is a handsome man, but I can't picture him bald at all.
Right. I think what's really been, you said it very well, Keith, there's been a real dark undertone to a lot of things, and this especially, just watching the really kind of like revolting way that Dunst treats these people that admire him, like Veronica, like Stephen the Turtle Weiner, and most of all, Jakob Hammermeyer. It really, there's just like a darkness to it. And although I have to say I don't like his odds, given that he's got, I think, 4 weeks of training under his belt, says Gavin at this point, I'd love to see him, one, I'd love to see him shut Tim Dunst up, to be quite honest about it. But I think it would really be a statement for the people that follow Dunst kind of blindly about, you know, what he is and what he represents and everything else. And even though my guess would be that, you know, there's no one as inexperienced on this card as Gavin, like I said, with 4 weeks of training, it really represents one of the most intriguing matchups on the whole card.
I mean, personally, if I were you, I'd probably be the saddest about not being able to see the sarcophagus match. Because, I mean, we've seen matches before with stipulations, but the sarcophagus stipulation, try and say that five times too fastly, I mean, that's intriguing as hell to me, Mike.
Mm-hmm. I was really, really surprised. I saw some cell phone photos that someone had taken of the sarcophagus, and I was just stunned upon seeing it. It's a really bizarre thing. I don't know, in my mind, I guess it just didn't meet my mental expectation of what a sarcophagus would be, but it was very, very foreboding. And that, too, has a trail of darkness. The former members of the Osirian portal, Amasis and Ophidian, are finally going to clash head-to-head, and it's really difficult to watch this, especially knowing what a fantastic tag team they had been in the past, and a lot of really horrible and dark moments of betrayal between these two former friends that have led to this. I was there front and center at high noon. I was actually watching right behind the curtain when Ophidian attacked the Moffats, who had been in a career-threatening and we, at the time we thought, career-ending car accident. And so the fact that he has come back, he's done an enormous amount of physical therapy, and he's gotten himself not just in the best shape of his career, but I think he's exceeded it. He has never looked better than he is right now. This really represents one of the most fascinating matchups of all. Like, what's going to happen when one of those guys gets slammed into a sarcophagus and the lid is shut?
And what kind of training do you need to do for this, Mike? I mean, I can't see someone going to the Wrestle Factory sitting there saying, well, what do you want to learn today? I can't see it being one of Chris Jericho's or even your own 1001 holds. I mean, because there are certain things that you have to do in that sarcophagus match.
No, I think it's going to be a display of brutality. I would guess, you know, I don't really know, but I would guess the rules are probably akin to like a casket match or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess. I don't really know to be certain, but I would wager to say, looking at those as a template, it's going to be brutal. I would wager any amount of money that there's no disqualification in a match like this. And the rivalry between these two is as personal as anything on the card. So I'm really, really intrigued, of course, to see that. There's been kind of a long brewing issue between Dasher Hatfield and Delirious, which I think is the last addition that was made to the card, based on the fact that Delirious, on a number of occasions, has attacked Dasher Hatfield, dating as far back as the season premiere. And Dasher is he's fresh off a rib injury. And, well, you want to talk about the last guy you want to be in the ring with in that type of condition, it's Delirious.
All right, I totally agree. Also, the Devastation Corporation, their third man, am I correct in saying this, Flex Rumble Crunch?
Mm-hmm. Right. I saw that. I saw Sidney Bacabella, their manager, had tweeted that out, and I thought, I think I used to eat a cereal called that, Flex Rumble Crunch. You know, it came in like you could get it in peanut butter flavor or anabolic, and that's a really intriguing matchup for size reasons. Three members of the Colony, Fire Ant, Green Ant, Assailant, against the three biggest dudes, collectively the biggest trio I think that Chikara has ever seen in the Devastation Corporation. It's not been released yet, but you were there live. Tell me what you saw. Apparently, they went berserk and attacked the Ants in Chicago.
I believe it was, was that shown on maybe one of the podcasts, the Go-Go episodes, where they basically took out the Fire Ant and the Green Ant. It was pretty brutal and devastating. I mean, that's the thing. When you look at the Devastation Corporation, I mean, just when sizing them up against WWE-sized wrestlers, I mean, those guys are huge. And they are, in fact, incredibly, the name definitely implies it. You know, they are devastating, to say the least. So it was more of a mugging than a professional wrestling match. And I enjoy gorillas.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when the sides are even, how they fare against the Colony, who are certainly among the most celebrated trios. But the top trio in all the land at Chikara, at least until the next King of Trios tournament, is the Spectral Envoy, the winners of the 2012 King of Trios tournament. And Ultramantis Black, Hollow Wicked, and Frightmare will be in action against the creation of Wink Vadasur. This, what to me seems like a very crass and heartless attempt at shill marketing, the Colony Extreme Force, which are these, like, ridiculously over-accessorized ants that he came up with in Missile Assault Ant, Arctic Rescue Ant, and Orbit Adventure Ant, who now, on a number of occasions, have illegally unmasked Frightmare. And I think it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight when these six dudes get in the ring.
All I know is the Orbit Adventure Ant, I know Dave Prazak and I were almost mystified by his glowing helmet at those Logan Square shows. It was almost hypnotic, you know. I just hope that's not shown on iPay-per-view, the helmet itself, because I just fear that the people will sit there and just focus on the helmet as opposed to the professional wrestling match at hand. So I'd also like to apologize for my commentary because, of course, I was hypnotized. Also, Young Lions Cup, isn't that going to be on the pre-show, Mike?
Yeah, I think
why would you know? You don't even work there anymore. I'm sorry.
But I follow very, very closely because the Chikara roster is filled with people that trained under me at the Wrestle Factory. And, you know, I remain on as the head trainer at the Wrestle Factory, and I'm very, very proud of all the students that have come out of there and the heart and determination that they show. And they go out there, whether they agree with, you know, the movements of the director of fun or what popular opinion might be or anything else, you can count on them to go out there and give 110% every single time. And what I love about the Young Lions Cup in particular is where you start to see tomorrow's stars starting to emerge. Certainly, I think there has been no hotter rookie all year in professional wrestling than Mr. Touchdown, Mark Angelicetti, the man who currently holds the Young Lions Cup. And he's going to step up once again. This is actually the second challenge by high-flying rookie Saturine. Now, this is an intergender match, Saturine against Mark Angelicetti for the Young Lions Cup. And it is being presented free. Smart Mark Video is presenting it free as part of the Freeview A Go-Go, which they're giving away prior to the official start of the show. So head over to smvod.com. It's free to order the Freeview, of course. And I think it begins like a half hour or so before bell time. But, yeah, you want to tune in extra early to see that and check that out. And that, of course, is not the only other title match. The main event, the big one at Anniversario, Never Compromise. Incidentally, Keith, earlier you said Never Surrender, and that's a Stan Bush song.
And a Corey, isn't that a Corey Hart song as well?
You're right, but Stan would kill me if I said that. This is
do him and Corey have a rivalry? I mean, is there something that we shouldn't know about, maybe settled eventually down the line on iPay-per-view from smvod.com?
No, and thank you for that. I've been really fortunate over the last couple of years, since he appeared on my podcast, The Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, to befriend Stan Bush, like the motivational rock icon. And one of the things I've seen come up in conversation that really, like, kind of rubs him raw is someone brings up his song, Never Surrender, which was a hit for him. And they're like, oh, you mean the Corey Hart song? And you should see the look on his face when people say that. I feel so bad for him when he has to humor things like that, because he's a really accomplished rock and roll musician with a great back catalog, but everybody says that about that song. And there is a Corey Hart song called that, but they're not the same.
Anyway. They're not. I don't know what the Stan Bush video is like, but I know the Corey Hart video is very heartfelt and touching with him. It seems like he's hitchhiking during a lot of it and not, in fact, wearing his sunglasses in the night while it's hitchhiking and raining. But let's go back to, of course, the main event of the show.
Right. Stan Bush's song is in a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, so it probably involves somebody getting kicked in the face. And it's likely that someone will get kicked in the face when the Grand Championship of Chikara is on the line. Two Gen 1 originals by that people that were part of the first season, the maiden voyage of Chikara. Hey, I'm one of those. Yeah, so it was quite some time ago. And I don't like to think about it because it makes me feel old. But Eddie Kingston, who he's got to be on defense number 13 or 14 here, a really incredible run, now taking on the challenge of Icarus, who's never challenged for the Grand Championship. And this, too, is a really fascinating match. It's been interesting to see. This is always kind of dog Kingston everywhere he goes. There's always been, like, some fans that really don't take to him very well. And he could be a very gruff individual. There's no two ways about it. But when you look at the Chikara roster top to bottom, I think there is nobody you want to get in a fight with less than Eddie Kingston. And you contrast that against a guy who for the last, I'd say, 9 years has maybe been the least popular guy in the entire locker room, Icarus. And it's going to be fascinating to see what the Philadelphia faithful make of this. It's Chikara's only visit to Philadelphia this year that's been announced anyway. And Philly in particular, man, there are no fans quite like Philly fans. I know they're really close to selling out the Trocadero. I hope that it's a huge success. And, you know, all I've been hearing from the guys that are part of this is that it seems to be on track to be maybe the biggest iPay-per-view Chikara has ever done. So I want to wish them the very best of luck. I think it's an intriguing event, and I'm going to be – maybe I'll even live tweet as I'm watching it because I can't wait. It's going to be, I think – the can't-miss event of the summer, and I don't mean that as a slight to the Man of Steel, which I'm totally going to see on opening night.
Wow. So I guess I have to ask, now that you're no longer involved with Chikara, other than the Wrestle Factory and your many, many podcasts, what are you doing with yourself now, Mike?
Well, in terms of my physical health, right now I'm enjoying a bit of a respite because I've had a number of very serious mounting injuries, other nagging injuries. Maybe the worst of them actually occurred at the shoulder of Pallas on April 6th in Secaucus, which was my final match with Chikara. And I incurred a very serious leg injury. I think you might have observed it happening in all of its grotesqueness, Keith. Unfortunately, my capacity and the way in which I'm going to be functioning in wrestling needs to be changed. And it's not my favorite thing to be walking around. I walk with a support cane right now. It's not my favorite thing to be very limited physically in what I can do. And some of these injuries, in particular, one to my left wrist, is inoperable. And it's going to very seriously impact the way that I go about doing things for the balance of my life. And that's as honest about it as I can be. And it's a tad depressing, quite frankly. But I really always look forward to the fact that I'm involved in training the next generation of professional wrestlers at the Wrestle Factory. It brings me great joy and satisfaction to see them become stars on their own, like, you know, the men and women that make up the roster of Chikara. And in any way that I can be involved, it's hard for me to imagine this as the date May 20th, 1994 has now passed. This is now my 20th year in professional wrestling, and this is something I've dedicated my adult life to. My creative energies and my passion has really been poured into this, and just being able to contribute in the ways that I do, which are not exactly the ways that I once contributed, bring me a great deal of satisfaction, and that's the long and the short of it.
I know we don't have much time, of course, because we both have small children and we both probably need naps ourselves. But at the WrestleCon show where I was at, there was something on the DVD I wanted to talk to you about. It seemed like you were handed a package, and I'm just going to come out and say this. Did that package include those photos of Baby Doll that Dusty Rhodes had?
No, and you know, I think those altered photos of Miss Elizabeth that Ric Flair used to taunt Randy Savage leading into WrestleMania 8, they were not included either. And I'd like to say, for the record, I think the Miss Elizabeth photos would be infinitely more interesting than the Baby Doll photos, and none of them were in there. That was a very strange interaction I had on that day. That was a very surreal day, top to bottom. But to summarize, I think what you're getting at, that's no longer in my possession. And I'm glad that you were there for that, because the Shoulder of Pallas, which was the name of the Chikara event that took place on April 6th, was for a variety of reasons, an incredibly significant and important day in my wrestling career. And I'm glad that you were there to be part of it, as were many members of my wrestling family, because it is a day I will never forget.
It was great because we had no iPay-per-view problems. Of course, we weren't on iPay-per-view, but that was... That doesn't really matter. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't matter. So I just got one or two more questions, Mike, and we'll let you go, of course. I mean, definitely, if you want more information on Mike Quackenbush, definitely check out his Twitter and his many hundreds of thousands of hours of audio content that he provides. Definitely. I definitely enjoy the Grizzly Affair, mostly because, you know, I feel that you and I just had a conversation very Grizzly-like about Corey Hart versus Stan Bush.
Yes.
But I guess my question is, I mean, looking back on your Chikara career, is there anything that you would have done different, Mike?
Well, it's really hard to say. Maybe I'll leave you with this thought, which is something that kind of informs my creative outlets, which wrestling is for me. That's my creative outlet, especially given that I don't have time to write like I once did. I was once a very prolific writer, and wrestling really consumed so much of my time that some of my other creative outlets ceased to exist in favor of wrestling. I think it would always be better to regret things that you've done, the decisions you've made in matches, or you know, the long rivalries you found yourself in, et cetera, et cetera. It would always be better to regret the things that you've done than to regret the things you never had the courage to do. And I think that's how I must always reflect on my creative endeavors. And If that gives any listener out there a bit of inspiration or something else to inform their own creative process, then good, because I think there is something to that mantra. And I'm really, really very fortunate. When I reflect on the things that I've done, I would rather not look at the shortcomings. For example, I could very easily say I wish maybe that I've worked harder toward a very specific goal of like going to the WWE, which some of my wrestling contemporaries did take very seriously as a goal they wanted to aspire to, and they achieved it. And I can only regard those people with the utmost pride, knowing that they were able to accomplish that. Rather than that, I like to look back on the things, very magical moments that I was able to have, whether it was sharing the ring with people like Jushin Liger, Manami Toyota, Johnny Saint, Eddie Guerrero, or the other people that I've idolized over the years. Those things are irrevocable. And whether they're only immortal to me or to others is irrelevant, because I will always look back on those kinds of things and take a great deal of satisfaction and pride in having played a role in them.
So it isn't to make sure that, certain commentators can show up at the commentation station on time so I don't have to jump in on things. Right.
Well, thank you, Keith. I appreciate you giving me a forum and for wanting to talk about all of these things. I'm beyond intrigued to see what happens this Sunday, Anniversario Never Compromised, and to watch the whole Chikara gang strut out there on stage and do what they do better than anybody else. Knock them dead, guys.
Yes, and it's to order it, of course, smvod.com. And, Mike, thank you so much for showing up on the show, and definitely enjoy your leisure time, my friend.
You too, Keith. Thanks, buddy.
All right. So, everybody, Alan, of course, will be back very soon with his own edition of the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show Presents. And for Mike Quackenbush, this is Dr. Keith Lipinski signing off. So long. Make sure you check out AAW News, cheap plug. So long, everybody.